Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
3 o'clock hour, WEEI afternoons on a not-so-nice Thursday. A little rain. In fact, this is definitely not motorcycle weather, Ted Johnson.
Definitely not. I heard you guys talking about maybe going to Toronto on my Harley.
Can you fit us on there?
Sherman won't fit all you guys.
Sherman.
I can fit one of you guys, but Sherman can't carry all of you guys. So if you want to go up on Sherman, you're going to have to
decide. So you got a little hog.
That is not true.
Andrew, take a lap.
A Harley is a hog, and he said we couldn't all fit.
Take a lap. Well, hold on. You got the new truck, so a couple of us can hang out in the back of the truck. Someone gets to ride with Ted on Sherman. We're good. Now you got
to name
your truck.
Fitzy wants a road trip to a Sox playoff game, wherever they end up.
I think that could be fun. I mean, that would be a fun. I've heard Toronto's a great time. It's not Montreal fun, but it's up there as far as nightlife goes. We could take in a ball game and then go clubbing at night.
Let's get one of those hotel rooms that overlooks the field.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Everybody got their passports ready?
And we can get Stiz his first.
I'm good.
We can get Stiz his first poutine.
Stiz, you've never had poutine?
I have not.
I had poutine.
Have you ever had a Canadian?
I am Canadian. Oh, I know what you mean.
You know
in Montreal, there's
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but actually, I am Canadian. My dad and my family came from Nova Scotia, so.
Really?
That's right.
Learn something every day about Stiz. See, it's already been an informative 3 o'clock hour. And
was that a prison island?
For the three-point stance.
It's the three-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bam!
Easy as one, two, three.
Pastrnak, a hat trick, and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
And it is gone! A three-run homer, and the game is tied!
On WEEI Afternoons.
Time for today's three-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, or you've never had a Canadian, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, three hosts, each of which will present their stances on the biggest stories in Boston sports and beyond. Andy Hart, you and your City Connect jersey will lead us off. Are you ready?
I am ready, and so's my audio.
Okay, here it is.
0-1. Massa swings and drives one high and deep into right field. Forget about it. Oh, baby, way gone for Yoshida. He is unbelievable against these Blue Jays, and it is 4-0 Red Sox.
Did I do that?
My guy. That's my guy right there. I have a new favorite DH
guy, huh?
For the Boston Red Sox. I owe Masataka Yoshida an apology. It was about, I don't know, 60 days ago, I said, I never want to see this guy play again for the Red Sox. Yeah. All you do is ground out to second base.
And he's your
you
guy.
Stink. But you know what? The manager had patience with him. I didn't. And it paid off for the manager. I'm going to read you a series of quick numbers. 2-2-2-2-1-0-2-2. That's Yoshida's number of hits in his last 8 games. The guy is a two-hit machine. He's hitting the ball out of the ballpark. He runs great. He looks great. His teammates love him. He pulls his pants up a little high, but I can look past that. Yoshida, I said it earlier, but I needed to do it in a three-point stance because then they put it on social and it goes officially viral. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I should have had more faith in you. Hopefully the Red Sox play the Blue Jays in Toronto in the playoffs because Yoshida is a legit hit machine, RBI machine, and dare I say it, a cleanup DH.
Wow. Just an 8-game sample.
Yes.
Okay.
He had a little shoulder setback. Alex Cora told us yesterday. And I have my theory, Ted, that Toronto is most similar to the lighting and the buildings he played in Japan, and that maybe he feels more comfortable backdrop-wise and sort of set up there.
I like him hitting right now, too, because if you got the Yankees or Toronto, he hits the ball out of the park in Toronto, and
Yankees.
Yankees Stadium, he'll hit it out of there, too.
So, Yoshida, I'm sorry, I was mean. See, when Dan Ball said he never wanted to see Walker Buehler again, well, he was kind of right, and the team agreed a little bit later after that. I was a little presumptuous in my hate for Yoshida. Mm. He's back, baby, and now hopefully he's part of the reason you have a deeper, longer lineup heading into the postseason, Fitzy.
Takes a big man.
I absolutely
Well, he's
love
a little
it.
Man, and I'm a little man, so
I never thought he's
a little man
to
Matt. Admit his big mistake. Yep. Sorry, go ahead, Fitzy.
No, please, by all means, Ted, you're right. You know, not only does he absolutely mash in Toronto, and if it were up to me and they knew they were going to play the Blue Jays next week, I'd say, you know what? Leave Masataka up there for a few days. Go ahead. Have a Canadian or two. It's fine by me. Treat yourself. I'll even give you the corporate card. And if they play the Yankees with that short porch and right where we've seen him hit some big home runs before, he'll rake. Guys, it may be that he's heating up to a point, like Cora said yesterday, you can actually, when he comes up, like look forward to the at-bat or literally think like, oh, he's going to get a big hit. This is what he's been doing the last 2 weeks.
Instead, I used to just bat. What was the thing I was betting on, Dan Ball? You could bet on, like, ball doesn't leave infield or something like that.
Yeah, in play out, I believe, was the specific outcome you could put good money on.
And you're right, Fitzy. When he used to, I literally hated seeing him come on my TV screen because it was, like, just wasted time. Can we all just agree it's going to be an out and move on to the next hitter is the way I felt back then. Now, all of a sudden, he's a two-hit machine. Every once in a while, you got to back
it up.
Every once in a while. Like a truck on Sturrow Drive that
Sorry,
hit the
Masa,
overpass.
I was not familiar with your game.
Exactly. Well, I was, because his game for a really long time was not very entertaining and not very fun. But now, all of a sudden, he's part of the rolling Red Sox that are heading to the postseason.
Does he have a similar swing to Ichiro? Kind of like he slaps at it sometimes.
Not as much.
Or opens his hips.
Not as much.
And the follow-through is, though, to your point. The way that he finishes, absolutely.
Yes. A little bit like Ichiro, It's interesting.
And they both also hold the bat very still before they swing as well. There are definitely some similarities. He is up to 361 in 25 games against Toronto. Just quickly, he's also a 275 career hitter against the Guardians and 273 against the Astros. So some of the potential teams that you could be seeing, he's also had varying forms of success. But something about Toronto, I don't really know. But we'll leave that one there. Andy's guy, he's gone with the direction of the wind, and now he loves Yoshida.
That's because I blow.
No surprise.
I'd say, honestly, like Hart Stadium must have spent so much money on those moving goalposts on both sides of the field.
Hey, I just acknowledge things as they come along, right? Same with you, Ted. You had to acknowledge for a little period there that Bregman wasn't at his best necessarily at the plate because them were the facts.
Well, I didn't give up on him and just trash him.
You kind of did. You were close.
No, definitely not. Nope.
Takes a big man to admit he was wrong, Andy.
That's right. I'm the biggest man on this show.
Oh, sure. That's right. And don't look at any pictures. Fitzy, are you ready?
Wow, this is off to a terrific start. Let's add to the fun.
All right, here's 60 seconds. Go ahead.
All right, this Sunday, obviously, it's a big chance for your New England Patriots to get back on track and hopefully finish the month of September with a 500 record, 2-2, clean up all the mistakes in Isle Vrabel, Isle May, but maybe not Isle Stevenson this Sunday. Because if you saw some of the footage that was released yesterday from the practice fields outside of Gillette Stadium from some of your favorite media cartel members, you saw that when they were running back reps, the order yesterday of handoffs and pass pro work went number 3, Ramondre Stevenson, number 2, Antonio Gibson, and number 1, Travion Henderson. That's right. Travion Henderson was repping with the ones yesterday at Patriots practice. Now, obviously, there's practice today, practice tomorrow. They got the install going on right now as we speak, getting ready for Sunday's game against the Panthers. And this could be a plum opportunity for the young rookie, the vaunted second-round pick out of the Ohio State University to come in, right the wrongs of his pass pro issues the last couple of weeks, show everybody why he's so dangerous with the ball in his hands in open field, on screens and wheel routes, and maybe actually tote the rock more than just to the left side of the offensive line because he's going against the 25th ranked rush defense in the Carolina Panthers. That's a get-right game for their running attack, and this could be Travion's coming-out party.
To me, it's a no-brainer with what's going on with Armande, that Travion's in there. However, Travion hasn't been very good when he's been in there.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
A lot of penalties. His blocking on blitz pickup has not been good at all. So, just to say he's going to go in there and all of a sudden things are going to be different, I'm not so sure. So maybe he doesn't have the fumble issues that Ramondre has, but I think Antonio and Travion both are more deserving of carries. And, Ramondre's got to kind of chill and watch and learn his lesson the hard way. And just that, to me, I've always said this, you want to get guys motivated, take away their reps, and you will see more of a hyper-focus, usually more times than not, whenever they get the chance to play again.
Ted, when you watched Henderson in particular last week, because I think he had 11 carries, but for like 2.5 yards per carry.
Mm. Yep.
I don't know if he was running scared because he didn't want to be the third running back to fumble on the day.
Right.
And he was like
There's
extra cautious.
Can you imagine?
Because he's got to be explosive. That's his game. His game is explosive.
So
right?
So let's design plays to the outside.
Yeah.
Let's
toss sweeps, it, baby.
Toss cracks. Pin and pull type plays. Get him going to the outside. That's where he does his damage, is on the perimeter.
Yeah, I'd like to see him get into space. I think he's going to get opportunities, but yep. He needs to produce on them. Like this, we all had him like penciled in as a potential offensive rookie of the year candidate. And so far, he's been irrelevant. Like you just mentioned, the only notable things he's done have been kind of bad, right? Penalties and not making the most of his opportunities. So, it's a big week for him. But big opportunity, too. This could be one of those, like, he takes the job, runs with it, and maybe never gives it back kind of thing.
That happens a lot in the NFL. Guys
especially at running
get
back.
Hurt, and they lose their job to the guy that comes in and replaces them all the time.
Yep.
I'm excited to see what Josh McDaniels can do, or at least the potential for what he can do to kind of mix up the play calling for him a little bit more. Get him out in space, run him in different, off different guards and things like that. So we'll leave that one there, see what they can do. And Ramondre Stevenson has a little bit less to do here this week. Ted Johnson, are you ready?
I'm ready, Daniel.
All right. Here are 60 seconds. Go ahead.
All right. I want you guys to hear some audio. This was Carlos Narvaez after the game last night, after he had a home run that knocked in three RBIs. Listen to Will Fleming talk to Carlos Narvaez and his impact that he's had on this team this year.
Bro, I got chills right now. I barely can talk. It's been a long ride, bro. I don't know. It's been amazing. Every journey is tough, but my one has been tough one. Like I said, just feel proud to be in this group, to competing at this level and making, getting closer to the postseason. I just gotta thank God. Feel proud every night, every time I put my jersey on. So, gotta keep going.
I'm gonna pull a Fitzy here. I'm gonna tell you how you're supposed to feel. Okay.
All right.
If you don't hear that audio from Carlos Narvaez and him getting choked up after the performance he had. And just his place on this team and Will Fleming telling him that people are just love him and are big fans of him, and to hear that reaction, that's that good stuff right there. And that's kind of – baseball kind of has that I don't think some of the other sports have. I love the humanness of baseball because it's just you out there, you alone. And so his response, I thought, to the questions from Will Fleming, I thought were touching. I thought were incredible. I thought were all the reasons that you become a fan of baseball and of this team. So, Carlos Narvaez, I'm telling everybody that they need to buy in on this guy because he is a likable guy. And after you hear that interview, it's hard not to be pulling for this guy.
Dan Ball, have we confirmed that technically, I don't know if they were officially done, but the trade for Narvaez was the same day as the trade for Crochet?
Yeah, I heard that bandied about. Let me double check that.
I mean, AI
I've heard
says
that
it's
multiple
true.
Times.
I did the quick in the AI overview, if you Google it or whatever, says it's true. December 11th, they made a trade for Crochet, and they also made a trade for that's a pretty good day for Brezbot.
You know what? And there's a link to the two. I mean, Crochet walked behind Narvaez during that interview. Will Fleming said something to that effect, and then it got Carlos talking about Crochet, and just the way he talked about Garrett Crochet was just awesome. Like how he just, the reverence he has. So these are two young guys that hopefully if they are the way they are playing in their young careers, kind of you know, keeps going here is pretty special. If you can have a relationship with the catcher and a pitcher like that, that are on the same page, that are pulling for each other, that like that, then you got something pretty cool.
There's no crying in baseball.
No, there is. There is, baby. And Carlos just proved it, man.
Have we noticed a little trend here with Ted Johnson? He's a sucker for these tears, emotions. It was the NFL draft, the NBA draft. I think you really enjoy the grandfather. Somebody was involved with one of them.
Yeah, that's the part I really enjoy the most is the. Are you kidding me? Like, when the Olympics come, I don't care about the races. I care about the backstories.
What he really likes to do is read romantic novels.
Hey, come on, Mr.
The emotional
Dick
side.
Let's go.
We heard on Tuesday from Mark Schlereth that Cement Head was, you know, or Keg Head or whatever the other.
Keg Head Ted.
Yeah. Now we get the softer side a little later in the week. The tearjerker.
That's what I like. That duality. It keeps people off balance. They're not really sure what to make
Absolutely,
of me.
Absolutely.
We'll call the softer side. We'll call that Quilted.
There you go.
I see what you did there. Let's get a sponsorship for that.
There's definitely got to be one.
On the topic of Narvaez, aside from the fact that it seems like he's turned to, I heard Will Fleming say maybe 20 times when Castiglione was in the booth the last couple weekends, oh, you would have loved covering Narvaez. He's the best guy around. So there's behind the scenes stuff, but I put this together seeing that you were going to do that as your 3-point stance. So he is first in terms of runners caught stealing with 32, tied for second in defensive runs saved among catchers, tied for sixth in blocks above average, seventh in catcher framing runs, and second in caught stealing above average. I know some of these are analytics and whatever else, but pretty much every single aspect of the defensive side of the game for Narvaez, and I'm ignoring one very specific that Andy's making a face at me for. Other than that, the catcher's interference, he truly has been a top five defensive catcher in the game, which I don't think you can overstate how important he has been at the catcher position and to the pitching rotation.
And I don't actually blame him for the catcher's interference.
I don't either.
He's coached that way. They're trying to steal strikes. They want him to do it. If they didn't want him to do it, I think he's very capable of like sliding back 3 inches so he doesn't get catchers. They want that's where they want him. He's doing
Wasn't
his
it in
job.
Back-to-back games.
Oh, he's got like
I think he had two.
He had two in one inning.
In one game.
Yeah,
oh, did he really?
I believe. Yeah, okay. it's a little, but no damn ball. You're right. I think that's a stat we need to note, but I don't actually think that stat is on him. I think that's on the team and Bailey and Cora and Veritek and how they want to play it.
Again, that was the position that we talked about before the season that just looked thin. I mean, Connor Wong, he's not very good defense, and his offense was Carlos Arvaez, he's a rookie from the Yankees, don't know much about him, and now look at him.
And I'd also like to know, and we'll never know, because if you're Craig Breslow and somebody asked you, you'd be like, yeah, we had hopes that he'd be X, Y, and Z. But what did you, on December 11th, when you traded for him, if I had said, like, what's best case scenario for Carlos Narvaez, was it this? Was it like he's going to be one of the best catchers in baseball? He's going to be hitting home runs to help you go to the playoffs? I find that hard to believe.
If I'm Breslow, I'm telling everybody, I knew it. I saw it. I knew this kid was going to be special. You kidding me?
This does sort of beg the question. It's been on my mind a lot recently, and now with the success last night of Crochet on the mound, he's no doubt the, quote, team Cy Young, though Chapman's been amazing. Who would you guys say, if somebody were to ask you, who's the MVP of this team this year?
Crochet. Trevor Story.
Wow.
Wait, not about Bregman? That?
I mean, no,
the injury killed St. Bregman.
He was
Narvaez has
months,
entered the chat.
Months.
Like he has been such a revelation. He's been so clutch for this team. No one expected to. I think he merits consideration in the conversation.
No, I absolutely think you can argue Crochet. I think you can argue Trevor Story.
Yep.
Trevor Story is probably the most wire to wire, everyday player, consistent option.
Other than May. Other than March, month of May.
Oh, I thought you said then you, and I was like, no, you're consistent, Ted. You do a fine job.
Other than Dustin May,
And some people have that weird the starting pitcher or the pitcher can't be the MVP dynamic. If you're including pitchers, I think Crochet is your MVP.
Probably so.
Because he sets there's a tone set.
It is definitely Crochet.
Like before.
Include him, yeah.
Like Lou Maloney was tweeting at like 6 a.m. yesterday about the pig and his bacon and Crochet. Like that's how big a figure you are over days of the – anyone out there and obviously produced.
I mean, the ace pitcher has the same from an emotional and mental standpoint, effect on a team as a good quarterback does.
Yep. And I would say a hot goalie. Like they change everything. Like they make everybody else's job. Every player on the Red Sox, I believe, not named Crochet, shows up on Crochet days thinking, our job's easier today.
Yeah.
It's just easier.
Yeah.
Like, we can be a little less good, and I don't think they're professionals. I know they're trying to be their best, but that's like a weight is removed from them because you know you have that guy on the mound. So I would probably vote for him. Yes, Dan Ball.
Cora did say during the post game yesterday, he said, oh, yeah, every 5 days we show up thinking it's win day. Can you imagine going in having that kind of mindset?
Right.
I mean, that's what
awesome.
The rest of the roster has.
And that's awesome. And if you do it the way over 32 starts, like, that's wins that you're starting to pile up, and that's a big chunk of your season.
You know,
it's
so nice. It's just so nice to have a pitcher, the mentality that he has. I mean, the Chris Sale, he had it, but he just was never good enough to really believe in it.
Well, he couldn't sustain it,
Couldn't sustain it. I mean, David Price, please. I mean, just this guy is a dog, and he's a tough SOB. And I love that in an ace pitcher.
An 8 scoreless innings last night, 6 Ks, no runs allowed, no home runs, and the Red Sox win. And now we're talking about clinch day. We're about 15 minutes away from that A's-Astros game first pitch, where if the Astros lose, the Red Sox clinch a playoff spot. But up next for us here on WEEI Afternoons, it's Thursday, it's 3:30. That means it's time to talk to Tom E. Curran, and I feel like we have a lot of Kraft and Brady and Belichick questions for him. Oh, and also the football team that's actually here in Foxborough. That's up next with Tom E. Curran, WEEI Afternoons.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI Afternoons. We'll go right to the phone lines for our buddy Tom E. Curran. Tom Curran on WEEI Afternoons is brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair, and by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. Tom Curran, how are we doing today?
Great. What's going on with you?
So I'm doing great, thank you. Just very excited. We just actually had some barbecue dropped off in the studio, so I may be distracted and thinking when this interview's over, I'm going to be eating ribs.
Nap time.
Oh, yeah, the later in the show I could get a little drowsy. Tom, the news broke today that Robert Kraft is divesting 8% of the Patriots, 6th Street 3%, Metropolis 5%. But I think the thing everybody wants to know is, when we hear about Tom Brady being a minority owner of the Raiders, why couldn't Tom Brady have been one of these minority owners of the Patriots?
Well, I suppose he could have. Did the Patriots offer it then? Was Tom Brady on a different plan? I mean, I don't know. I mean, this is, we kind of talked about this a week or two ago when Brady was spending time with the Raiders prior to the Raiders game. Why wasn't Tom here? And I guess it takes two to tango. Did Tom want to work with the Patriots? Did the Patriots offer that to him? I kind of think it ran its course, to be really honest. He can say he's a Patriot all he wants. And I believe that. I don't think he's lying. But I think the whole triangle of love really ran its course. I don't think that if you said to Tom, would you leave the Raiders right now to come back to New England and be a minority owner and switch that thing right out? I wonder if he would, because 20 years is a long time. And by the time Tom left, he was, I think I've said this with you guys before. I know I said it to Jonesy, but Tom wasn't pissed at Bill for being Bill, because Bill was always Bill. And he was trying to get Tom out of the door for years. Tom was more pissed that Robert Kraft divested himself of responsibility in trying to keep Tom around. That was unusual. That was something that Robert hadn't done prior. So I think that the more we circle back to this and say, well, why isn't Tom here? The relationship with the Patriots, there's all love, there's all enjoyment, but I don't think that they all wanted to work together anymore. So I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I just remember that comment in 2019 training camp. Go ask Mr. Kraft in regards to his contract. So that would validate your point. All right, TC, you got Drake May. He's in the top 10 of a lot of different categories, completion percentage and passing yards, passing touchdowns, passer rating. But yet the team's 1-2, and he still turns the ball over at a high rate. I guess what I'm asking is, can you succinctly and eloquently put in perspective how you think Drake May has been playing so far through the first three games?
I think we're seeing all the improvement that you hoped, maybe even more of it, in terms of execution and improvement based on the fact that he's married up with Josh McDaniels and he's getting much better protection. But I still think that he's got that 1 foot still in the backcourt. You know, it's still stuck there in the past where he has to figure out how to get away from those kinds of plays. And given the decision between an electric play, a chunk play, and no play, he needs to start taking no play. I mean, the Miami game just stands out, Ted. That's what he can be.
Yeah.
And more. But the decision last week that we watched, in especially with the fumble, I mean, the first one was bad enough because I think that really anyone could see that you don't throw low on the goal line. And a lot of lesser quarterbacks at lesser levels would not have thrown it that way. And that was a mistake. But the other one was he was doing it right, screwed it up. He had two hands on the ball. He was doing the right thing, and he just didn't go down. So to me, he still has just 1 foot stuck in the back, but he is making great improvement, and you have to be encouraged. And I know that you're close friends with him, and I know that you guys had a great relationship, and we all enjoyed watching him plenty up here, but there are so many Bledsovian mistakes that Drake May makes that it's all I can compare it to. I've seen this. And Drew went to Super Bowls, and he was a Pro Bowler, and he was on a Hall of Fame arc, maybe if things had gone differently. But you got to get that stuff out of your system somehow.
About a little bit this week, I'm sure you guys probably have to a degree as well. Are you a little bit disappointed to the start of the Mike Vrabel era? Are you happy with the speaking of arc and trajectory, with how things have gone thus far?
They should be 3-0. They should at least be 2-1. They have a chance over the next 10 games. They're playing 7 really bad teams, that they could be 9-3. I mean, legitimately, they're playing the Bengals without Burrow. They're playing the Titans, the Browns, the Jets, the Giants, the Falcons, the Saints, the Titans. And they haven't played a wagon of teams yet anyway. But they're better than those teams, and I wouldn't have said that last year. They're better than all three of them. They're better than the Steelers. I mean, they had 21 expected points taken off the board, according to this guy Kevin Cole, does expected points, and it's really a good site. But they lost 21 total points on those plays, the 5 plays that were turnovers. So in that vein, I'm happy if I'm a Patriots fan to see a much better football product on the field, but disappointed that Mike has not been able to yet extract from them the pound of flesh for the mistakes they make. And I think he has to be meaner. And I think some of the players have to be meaner to each other. I think they're all very nice to each other and understanding. But somebody's got to say, we got to cut the stuff
out.
He didn't say it. He's fine.
Careful.
He's fine. He's good.
Careful. I agree with you. I always thought be a great leader, you got to be willing to be an a-hole sometimes.
He's being mean to Ramondre right now. He's got him buried in the depth chart right now.
We'll see. We'll wait till Sunday. Okay, Mayo was going to bury him too until he didn't. And that leads me, Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston, to my question. In totality, if we include their post-game comments with the media, who had a worse day last Sunday? Was it Ramondre Stevenson or was it Pop Douglas who was laughing about the final decisive fourth down play?
Ramondre by a lot. The laughing thing, who's the quarterback? Was it Derek Anderson with the Cardinals who flipped out after he was caught laughing on camera, and then he just went bananas in the post game because I think Kent Summers asked him about it. I'll send you the video. look, Derek Anderson flipping out post-game press conference. When guys laugh at their locker, I just don't put a whole lot of stock in it. Or they're laughing on the sidelines, you know, during blowouts or something. Everybody wants to see the buffet table flipped over and somebody take a swing at a reporter to prove how much people care. I know that they care. I know that they care. You know, the crease of a smile on Christian Gonzalez's face when he talks. Everybody deals with stuff differently, and I think it's a sign of comfort. Not people say, oh, he's uncomfortable. I think it's a sign of comfort that you operate from a place of, well, people must understand that I didn't want that to happen. I'm embarrassed by it. I wish that it had gone differently. So they don't have to sit there and pretend and put on this guise of being, oh, I'm terribly sad. Of course you're sad. Everyone knows that. So I don't know. You got me down a road here. I don't love that question. That's your fault, Mom. That's my fault, not yours.
So you don't give Ramon
to like answer it in great detail, but I don't place a lot of stock in facial expressions. I'm sure he's bummed out.
And you don't
at a worse day.
And you don't give Ramondre credit for handling it maybe in a professional way, saying if I can't hold on to the ball, seemingly
He was professional. Yeah, but he could have said that after any one of the first seven fumbles before last Sunday.
Now we're bullying.
You mentioned his name.
Walk it like he's talking.
That's it, Tom. You mentioned his name, Christian Gonzalez. I'm just curious how you think Christian will be deployed this week and what kind of impact you think he'll have.
I'm figuring probably a 20-snap day. It would depend upon how he progresses and how he looks as the game proceeds. But they've taken their time, put it mildly.
Yes,
so maybe it's going to be a bigger a load for him than we're expecting. But I would imagine you want to manage it so you don't have a recurrence, because there's much more unexpected and high-speed plays that await him in the game than he can find on a practice field during the week. And I think he'll have an impact. Great team to go against if you want to have an impact, because the Panthers stink, and they don't throw it very well. I think they're averaging 4.9 yards per attempt, which is anemic. Of course, the Patriots are allowing 8.7 or so, which is also ridiculous. But Patriots. What is it? The Panthers can't run the ball and can't stop the run, and that gels nicely with the Patriots. Are you know all the metrics show up, including you'll like this. The Panthers are 2-17 on the road since the beginning of 2023. The Patriots are 3-16 at home. Something's got to give.
Wow, this is a real crap off on Sunday, isn't it, Tom?
Totally.
It kind of is.
Nice.
2-17 against 3-16, but on the whole though, how do you what kind of grade though? If we're just sort of like looking in on short term evals, how do you feel about the defense overall?
Unfortunately, they had a tremendous performance last week erased because they weren't just good last Sunday for a long stretch of time. They were unbelievably good. I think it was six straight drives where they probably allowed a total of 8 yards. So the defense is certainly trending in the right direction. They're not going up against ridiculously prolific offenses yet, so it would be better if they started to get fat and put wins into the win column against these teams. But again, the schedule is not going to get that arduous either. So the opportunity is there. I remember in 2008 when they went 11-5. You remember how bad the league was that year? And they still didn't make the playoffs. The Patriots didn't the Castle year. It's just the AFC is down. The Patriots' schedule is so friendly that they have a great opportunity to make strides this year record-wise if they just don't play dumb. I mean, they can get themselves to mediocre in short order.
Tom, there was some audio I heard yesterday on socials coming out of Gillette from Stephon Diggs. I think it was the last question of his interview with reporters.
Hello? What happened there?
All right. That's Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston. Apparently he put us on hold. So screw him and forget him. I don't need to know about Stephon Diggs and his tough offseason and what he was referencing from a reporter who was in attendance. That was Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston. He was mostly good today until he put us on hold because he had to take another call. Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, I do want to delve into a couple things. the Pop Douglas, Ramondre Stevenson question moving forward. The question about Drake May that led to some Drew Bledsoe comparisons. I wanted to get into that next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI Afternoons, that was Tom Curran moments ago before he so rudely put us on hold. But I'm going to go back to the phone lines to clean this up. Mr. Curran, what the hell happened?
I was trying to say hello to Mrs. Curran, but not really. I was actually trying. She beeps in. She's a teacher and her day had ended and she is not yet in football mode. She understands I have a 3:30 phone call. She called and I just was trying to hit just ignore and I didn't. I hit hold then accept. And okay. Then I heard, hi, and I was like, oh, that's not Andy. I got to get back to the radio.
We are creating a culture of accountability on WEEI Afternoons.
Nice job.
Tom, thank you for that, bud. That was very nice. Thank you.
And I have to come back, and now I have to come back, so that's my punishment.
That's right.
So you have to come back and finish the phone call.
Okay.
You don't get to leave. Okay.
So let's just finish on this, and I'm just going to tell you, I think you're absolutely nuts to think they're closer to 3-0 than to 0-3. They're 1-2, and they were one little pinky toe away from being 0-3 down in Miami. But let's end on that. We can argue about that next week when hopefully they're 2-2. All right, Tom?
You know, that's fair. That's fair. And it is. It's a fair assessment to make, and they're very lucky that Miami is stupider than they are.
All right, Tom, have a good week.
Thanks, bud.
See you guys.
See ya.
Thanks, Tom.
Tom Curran, NBC Sports, Boston, and I'm glad he kind of re-acknowledged because they're 1-2, so numerically they're kind of closer to three losses. And then when you take into account that foot of A-chain on the sideline in Miami, and all the mistakes you've made, and all those other things that map into it. I don't know. I don't think they have a great argument. I know I've heard players, Diggs said it.
Yeah.
One of the others about like could be 3-0. And I'm like, I guess technically, but I think almost every team in the NFL could
say that.
Win every game and lose every game. That's
It'd go a long way if they win this game just the first month, 2-2. That was kind of.
Because Vegas has already downgraded them. I don't know if you guys noticed.
That.
Down from 8.5 to 7.5. So clearly, Vegas, in their mind, thought they would be at least 2-1 at this point.
I agree.
And now they're behind, so they're subtracting a victory from that there. So I thought that was interesting. Fitzy, I also thought it was interesting that Ted and I are enjoying some great barbecue in the Brighton studios.
So good.
Our friends at the Smoke Shop Barbecue.
Our best friends.
Best friends. The best food drop ever has a part deux and can have a part trois and however you keep counting in perpetuity. Yep, just like LeBron James. Keep them coming. I just had some wings and some ribs that are as good as I've...
Got a little sauce right there. Yeah, just get a little... There you go. Now you got it.
Clean that up. I'm not surprised. We got the sides. We had some zucchini salad, sweet mashed potatoes, watermelon, cornbread. And as I said last time...
Sweet mashed potatoes.
Yes, sweet mashed potatoes. You like those?
Legit.
Careful.
So good.
Moment on the lips. Lifetime on the hips.
That's, I
know how you are.
Yeah.
The Sweet Victory barbecue sauce is phenomenal. So there are 7 locations, the Seaport, Assembly, Chelmsford, Methuen. You can look them up at smokeshopbarbecue.com. And I'll say it again, perfect for a day of football. If you want to sit down, watch some football, and not worry about anything. And you know, Ted, if you actually wanted to make barbecue, you'd have to plan like Friday night into Saturday, have it ready for Sunday.
The most labor-intense type of food that you can make.
Nope. This is the least labor-intensive because you just go to smokesharpbarbecue.com. That's BBQ.com.
I'm going to say it. Best barbecue in this area.
Yeah, it is. Without a doubt. It's the best I've had. And I've had disappointing ones here. Even I won't mention names, but people are like, oh, go to this place. It's one of the best in the area. And then you go and you're like,
It's fine, but it's nothing special. This is something special.
Agreed.
And you got a Texan, you got a rib tickler guy here telling you.
I know what
you,
I'm talking about. Listen
you,
to me.
I don't know about that with everything, but with barbecue, I know. I think you know what you're talking about. We need to go to the clinch desk with Dan Ball.
Go!
Mr. Negativity going to strike again. The Astros are up 2-0 in the bottom half of the first inning. An RBI single from Victor Caratini and a fielder's choice that plated a run from Christian Walker. 2-0, bottom half of the first. Framber Valdez on the mound for Houston.
It's a long game. It's a marathon.
A lot of game left.
One other announcement I need to make. We are officially back on Twitch. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. I see the chat is loading up. They are. I'm going to have to log in because I know they get mad when I don't take part. But Brett Norton's in there. Gina's in there. $10 Shake's in there. Didn't take them long to realize the Twitch stream was back up. So I can see Fitzy's beautiful face. Ted's beautiful face in there. We're back. I don't know why we were off, but we're back. We're still on YouTube. That's also an alternative. If you want to stay there, you can see our faces and hear our voices. Yes, Diz.
You think it's fair to assume it's something you said?
No, I don't think it's fair to assume.
I don't know about that.
Because it went down before we went on the air. I mean, it's possible. It's obviously possible with the things I said.
Derrick Henry for who? Get this guy off.
Get him off.
That couldn't have been it, but you never know. Coming up next here on WEEI Afternoons, let's turn the page a little bit. It's Thursday. We're a little later than usual. We're going to talk some Panthers. They're not a very good football team. Patriots, not a very good football team. So, as Tom Curran said, something's got to give. And stick around till 4:30. Gary Myers, author of Belichick versus Brady, buddy of Ted Johnson. He'll join us on the line to talk all things Brady and Belichick, all that next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.